And we're digging into this and starting off, and we're going to be doing on having hope and on a bright future. So I'm going to be in Psalms chapter 30. By nature, everybody's wired a little bit different, and some people are a little more optimistic just by their very nature, and some people are a little more gloomy by their nature, and then people learn to become more what they ought to be, whether it's their nature or not. And some people, eventually, there's little kids who everything's great. I mean, when they're young, they're 3 years old and everything's great. I think pessimism comes from a hard life sometimes. But you'll find people who grew up in a hard life optimistic sometimes. You'll find children or kids or teenagers who grew up in a hard life, you'll find them looking forward to life, thinking life's going to turn out good. And eventually, you get ruts in your thinking. And these ruts, Bible says in Philippians 4, things that are good and honest and just and good report, think on these things. And you learn to think on the right things and thankful thinking. Other people learn to think bad thinking. You know people. You might be the person. But I'm not criticizing you if that's you. It's just the way you've learned to think is your thoughts always tend toward the negative and failure, or it's going to turn out wrong. Some people think, I bought a car and this car's going to last me 100,000 miles. And people think, I hope it makes it off the lot because my cars always break down. Or some people think, this job's going to be terrible. Some people think this is going to be the best job. I'm going to rise to the very top. And some people's optimism cannot be broken even though everything they are optimistic about doesn't happen. They still think that the next thing is going to work out great. By the way, those are usually the people who invent great things. Those are Thomas Edison's. You know how many light bulbs he failed on? And so it's a way of thinking. And hope is a Bible word that we'll get into probably next week. We'll get into it eventually. But a bright future is what this series is about. And we're starting in this lesson. If you're a Christian, you have a bright future. And you have a bright future. And I don't deal well when I don't have hope. Now I'm very pragmatic and I'm very realistic. I have no problem being realistic. I had to be realistic with somebody yesterday, and I was pretty tough on them, and I had to be because they weren't living in reality, and I had to be pretty hard on them and say some things that probably didn't sound real nice and real optimistic. But they needed it, you know. Hey, if you're gonna run out, you know, and run in front of a car, you're going to die. And that doesn't mean you're a pessimistic person. It means you're real, and you live in reality. And so we have a bright future, and we're going to just go through several different reasons why we have a bright future and in our lives, because right now people are gloomy. Most of the reason is because their money god is pretty sick right now, and that's a big part of it. And it doesn't look like it's going to turn out around in the next week, and so people are a little bit gloomy. Generally, Americans are so materialistic that if they have money, everything's fine, and that's pretty much what it goes down to because that's their god. But it might not turn around real fast. It might go real bad for a long time. And you know what? You'll find even if you get enough money, you'll find out you're. Most people's hope in money is because they don't have it and they think they'll have it someday, or they think they'll have more. It's not because what they have made them happy. Even rich people are the same way. They think they need to get more. So you have a bright future out there, but you need to know why. And I'm going to start in Psalms 30 on a bright future. And I'm going to start at the very bottom of life and happiness. I'm going to start in sorrow and why in sorrow you can have hope. And why you have a bright future even when you're in sorrow. somebody said to me not that long ago, I thought you never got down or sad or felt any, you know, tired or upset at all. And I come across as that. I don't change a whole bunch. I don't feel emotions. Just because I'm not real expressive about my emotions, and I'm usually up. But you know, the funny thing is, if I'm up, you don't usually know I'm up because I'm just not a real expressive person facially, and in my words, I'm not. I can be doing wonderful and ready to float on cloud nine, but I probably won't even say anything. I'll just be happy inside. That's just kind of my nature. And you know, I feel I can get depressed, I can get sad, I can get lonely, I can get the whole gamut. Yesterday, this week, I had some pretty bad news with somebody's life that was pretty depressing, just in the gamut of my week. Yesterday, I was out visiting, and somebody told me that their sister is in, that I hardly knew the person I was talking to, but they told me my sister just had a baby, and the baby's in ICU, and is in real bad shape. And so off to the hospital, I went to the ICU unit and saw a two-day-old baby, all hooked up to everything, whose one lung is collapsed and heart's not right and everything else. And their sorrow there. CPS called me yesterday, asked me to take somebody I know's baby because they're getting it taken away because they're being very, very foolish. And so CPS asked me to take their baby for them. I said, I got a six-day-old. I better not. And so that is not real cheerful because I know them, I know their baby, and all that is a sorrow. But I want to say this, and all that, with the sorrow of those things, I'm not trying to make you gloomy and depressed. Boy, Pastor, you had a terrible week. That's a week. I am just as up this week as I was last week, as I was last month, as I was last year, because sorrow is not in control. And you know what? There's something to look forward to. Sorrow is just an emotion that comes and it goes. Emotions don't control those who follow the Bible. The fruits of the Spirit control those who follow the Bible. Emotions are just things that go up and down all the time, and they change on everything. And you have a bright future because sorrow passes. And one of the great things that we have hope in is God says, yes, you're going to have sorrow. If you're going to go through this life and you're going to try to avoid sorrow completely, I'm going to tell you you're going to fail. You're going to have a hard time with that. You're going to have sorrow. The difference is for a Christian, sorrow is just a temporary passing thing. It's a beautiful sunny day, and all of a sudden a cloud goes in front of the sun. And somebody else might say, life's terrible, life's hopeless, I'm so depressed. And somebody else says, it's a cloud, it's going to go away in a minute. And that's what happens when you serve the Lord. And Psalms 30, let me just get the whole chapter here. I'll read the whole chapter, and then we'll talk a little bit out of Psalms 30 and go through different chapters here. It says, I will exalt thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up. Thou hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down into the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his wrath endureth for but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. I said, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. And so we see a few things. We see a man here writing and saying, I went from the very top to the very bottom and to the top again. And if you haven't done that in life yet, give it a little time. Just give it a little bit of time. You'll go from everything's great to everything's terrible to everything's great again, in most cases. If you don't handle things right, you can stay at the bottom for a long time. You might never get out of it. But if you do right and serve God, you'll be back at the top again. Hey, travel any terrain except for Nebraska, you're going to go up and down. Nebraska is one cornfield. It's flat. That's all it is. But if you go most places, you're going to be on a spot. You're going to go to a beautiful valley, and you're going to be in a beautiful mountain. And you'll go through all of that. And that's life. Life goes through highs and lows. And though life goes through highs and lows, you don't need to get too high and low because you have a God who hasn't changed. And you have an eternity that hasn't changed. He went from the very bottom. We see in verse 6, in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. He said, I will never be moved when he was prosperous, everything was going good. And by the way, when you're young, or if you're not very wise right now, you'll think when everything's going good, everything's always going to go good. You'll think your finances will never change. You think your job will never change. You think your relationships will never change. You think your body will never change. A 19-year-old thinks they'll always be healthy. And they laugh and they say, man, I'll never gain weight. And then something happens somewhere in their life, and your body changes. You can gain weight, and your mind changes, and your priorities change, and everything in life starts changing, and you find out things change. He went from the very top. I said, I'll never be moved, and then God bring him to the bottom. Verse 7, Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide my face, and I was troubled. I cried unto the Lord, unto thee, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. And what profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? He says, I was way down to the bottom thinking about, man, if I die, is there anything worth it? He says in verse 11, thou hast turned my mourning to dancing. Now I put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. So he says, I was miserable. I was brought very low, and I was the very bottom. And now he's at the top when he's writing this chapter. He said, I was at the top, everything fell apart, I went to the very bottom, and now he's writing this psalm at the very top. Verse 2, it says, O Lord, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. He says, verse 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down to the pit. And then the verse we just read a little farther, you've turned my mourning into dancing. And I put on my sackcloth, and you've girded me with gladness. This chapter, if you look at the subtitle of it, it's a psalm written when David had built his house. David had become the established king, and now he'd built a beautiful house of cedar, and his kingdom was established, his enemies were all gone, and everything was great. But he also, not that long ago, was hiding in a cave, running for his life. And he said, you know what? The morning, the sorrow may last for the night. I might be running from Saul for a long time, but joy's coming in the morning. I'm going to remember that now because I've learned that. Sorrow is temporary. And now he's at the top. Just point number one about sorrow passes. Number one, low times make you enjoy the blessed times more. Psalm chapter 30, verse 11, thou hast turned my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Real simple, those people enjoy their car more when they had no car for a while, or they had a terrible junker. Those people who are homeless enjoy their houses more. When you go through sorrow, when you go through some health problems in your family, you suddenly enjoy good health, where you might never have enjoyed it before. You know who, in general, are the people who love church the most? Those who got away from God and realize how good they had it when they were serving God, and then come back. Those people who very few people are ever wise enough, and it is a wisdom thing, to ever go and appreciate something before they lose it. Give a rich kid all the things he wants in life, and he will not think as much of his Beamer as a person who's not had much thinks of their Pinto. Some people have had nice things all their life, and they do not appreciate it. Our immigrants who come to America appreciate America way more than Americans do much of the time, because they came from very hard conditions and are going around looking, look at the opportunities here. And when you've gone through sorrow, I want to say this. One of the things about sorrow is it makes you appreciate when things are okay much more. And it makes you appreciate the blessings more. And when you come out of sorrow, you are happier. When I am sick, when I get better, I am floating on cloud nine. When I'm not sick all the time, then I'm just glad I'm not sick, but it's not as appreciative. Now I feel really good. When you're having a hard time paying your bills and all of a sudden you get a little extra spending money, boy, you enjoy that spending money. By the way, you don't have spending money when you can't catch up on your bills. And we really appreciate it. You understand the blessings when you've gone through sorrow. See, sorrow is temporary, and when you come out of sorrow, you get great joy. And so you realize, you know what? I'm going to enjoy the good times more. I truly believe, as a pastor, I enjoy people in church and our church more because I had nobody at church for a very long time. And I really enjoy every person and thankful. We had a little bit of a low day in the shuttle today, but I literally thought while I was in the shuttle, I thought, man, there was a day when this is more people than I had in church on Sunday morning. And if these kids came in on a Sunday at that time, I would be going, oh my soul, Lord, what an amazing day. Why? Because I had hard times. And it makes you appreciate the good times more. Number two, sorrow passes. And for those who serve the Lord, the future is bright. Look at verse 5, and this is going to be our memory verse for today in church. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We didn't pray. I want to pray real quick, and then we'll finish the rest of this lesson. Father, help us now with your word. Speak to our hearts. Help us to realize that sorrow passes and joy comes in the morning. Give us your Spirit's power and wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Spoken by David. David went from killing Goliath to running from Saul to king, and all of his enemies are gone. And he says, you know what? I know that weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. I don't know if you're wired like me. I am wired where I can handle anything if I have hope at the end, and I look forward to it. If you tell me, Pastor, you're going to have an incredibly bad year this year, but then you're going to have an incredible decade afterward, I'd say, bring it on. Bring it on. I got a little bad year. If I got something to look forward to, I can do that. When you realize, and look at the wording there, I want you to understand, because it's very important, the way God talks in the entire Bible is the sorrows now, the joys in the morning. It's a bad night, but a wonderful day coming. And understand, that is contrary and opposite of the world. The world is, party now is going to be awesome, but I don't know what's going to happen later. We are, you know what, we might have to weep for a while now, but joy comes in the morning. In other words, when you serve God, you make temporary hard choices, but the future is bright. And a Christian should be optimistic because the future is always bright because you're serving a God who's going to recompense everything. Joy comes in the morning. And even when we serve the Lord, the future is bright. The morning is bright. Your next day is bright. Your eternity is bright. Everything you have to look forward to. Why? Because you planted good seeds and God is not mocked, and whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And you're going to reap good things. And then you're going to go into eternity and God will reward you for eternity because you've done right. And so, in other words, you might be sorrowing right now, but you know you're doing the right thing. In the future, things are going to be better and good because joy comes in the morning, even though weeping endures the night. So sorrow passes so we can have that hope. Number three, even his anger, when we deserve it, is short-lived. And this is, you say, why are you optimistic when God is angry at you? Because very simply, because God does not reward us according to what we deserve. Amen. And he says that he rewards us, and when he's angry at us, God does not hold long-term grudges. God is a male. Men, you ever had a woman say, do you remember 14 years ago when you looked at me wrong? I don't remember 14 minutes ago. You say something, it's a good thing though too. Women say, remember when Johnny first took his first step? Nah. You got a video? Women remember everything. But you know what? God says, look what God says here. His anger does not last very long. He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't keep bringing it up against you. Verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. It says, God will be angry, yes. And he says, I'm angry and I'm going to deal with this. But he's not going to keep punishing you for 75 years. He wants to deal with it, get it done, and move on. I'm a move-on guy. Are you a move-on person? I hope you are. I hope someone can offend you and you say, okay, I forgive you. And then you really move on. Not I forgive you, but the next time you do something, I'm going to bring this up the next 75 years. God is moving on. Your sins are scarlet to be as white as snow. I'm moving on. And God says, my anger will come and you're doing something wrong. I'm going to punish you, but I'm not going to torture you forever. I'm glad the Lord is like that. I deserve right now for God to be punishing me for stuff I did when I was a teenager. I deserve punishment for stuff I did as a kid. And God says, you know what? My anger just lasts a little bit. I want to get it dealt with. I want to punish you if you need it, and then we're going to move on. His anger doesn't keep on going. Many people continue. I'll read another verse in Psalms. I got a lot of verses written on this, but I'll just read out of Psalms 103. God says this several times. My anger does not go on and on and on and on and on. Psalms 103:8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, this is verse 9 of Psalms 103, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our iniquities. Isaiah 57:15-16, many verses. Even when we deserve his anger, it's short-lived. I'm so glad that God doesn't just keep on. God is, you know what it's like when someone won't let something go. I'm glad the Lord can let things go, and his anger is short-lived. Some Christians go around, unfortunately, and they're always thinking that God's still mad at them, and every time something happens, oh, I went there to the store, and this is on sale, and now it's not on sale. God must still be mad at me because I did this 10 years. Stop thinking that way. I mean, everything is not God's mad at you. Sometimes the sale just ended. Okay? Sometimes the car just got old. And sometimes you just forgot to change oil and the engine broke down. Everything is not God holding grudges. Can I tell you, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive your sin. Can you realize God is merciful and his anger is not, he isn't holding a grudge against you. If you confess it, it's dealt with. You might still have a consequence. I understand that. You go out and get pregnant, and you shouldn't have. You're going to have a baby. I understand. That's fine. But God's not mad at you anymore. You just have a consequence. If you go out and smoke for 20 years, you have cancer. Okay. But if you confess your sin to God, he forgives you. You might still have lung problems, but you know what? God is not still holding grudges against you. God says, I forgive you, and I'm faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you. So you know what's great? You go to God, you confess it, and realize, you know what? God is not going to stay angry at me. That's a great thing. That's exciting. I hope you're as excited about that as I am. And because God does not, his anger is short-lived. Next, number four, good sorrow brings big blessings. Good sorrow brings big blessings. Psalms 126. I'm trying to stay mostly in one spot in this lesson, but we'll wander a little bit. Psalms 126, good sorrow brings big blessing. It says, Psalms 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And so you see that you weep for souls and you bring big blessing. And a big verse for this whole lesson is 2 Corinthians 7. And it's really important for this lesson, although we're going to go back to Psalms 30. Listen to these verses and watch how the sorrow is different for the lost, for those who know the Lord and for those who are lost, for those who serve God and those who don't. By the way, for those who are backslidden and those who aren't, there's two different kinds of sorrow and they're totally different because one's optimistic sorrow and one's pessimistic sorrow. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 8, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were for but a season. For rejoice now that you remain sorry, but not that you sorrowed to repentance. For you remain sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive by damage by us nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. You go out and you live a party in life, you go out and go away from God, you're going to have sorrow because the way of a transgressor is hard, but that sorrow is only a sorrow without purpose that's going to not lead to any blessings in the future. It'll just be an empty thing in eternity. There's no reason to suffer in the world. You suffer for God, and God says, I keep record, and you know what? Your sorrow is for a purpose. That godly sorrow led you to repentance, and that's not to be repented of. And so a good sorrow is brings big blessings in the future. Next, the Lord keeps track of your sorrow and repays you. Psalms 56. So I'm saying here that there is we have a bright future because even our sorrow is for a purpose, and even our sorrow is with optimism, and it's only and it passes away. Our sorrow, if we keep serving the Lord, is only short-lived. God keeps track of your sorrow and repays you. So even in your sorrow, you can say, you know what, I know I'm hurting right now, but the Lord's keeping track of it, and he's going to bless me in my sorrow. Psalms 56 and verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not kept in thy book? Did you know right there that verse says that God does two things to your tears? One, he puts them in the bottle, and two, he writes them down in the book. Some of us, some of you have had a lot of sorrows in life. But you know, if you're serving God, he's keeping track of those sorrows. And he's writing them down. Boy, talk about caring and knowing what's going on in your life. Yeah, how many tears you think you shed in your life? I mean, some of you are criers, and that's awesome. And some of you, when you cry, you bawl your eyes out. And some people don't cry much. When they cry really hard. But you know what? I've shed a few tears in my life. I don't shed a tear when I hit my finger with a hammer. Pain never makes me cry, but I cry for people. And you know what? God keeps record of those tears, and he writes them down. And you know what he says? It's in Matthew, in chapter 5, he says, "Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. But all those who've lived sorrowful lives and had heartaches, and those of you who have sorrows and friends reject you in hard times, or you've been given a burden in life that's a hard burden to carry, somebody's sick in your life you care about, or some burden in life that's hard to deal with, and you sorrow because of it, you know God says, I'm going to comfort you because of your sorrows. You get paid back with a great comfort, maybe in this life, for sure in the next. So even though you say, it's not fair, I cry, I have a harder life than most people, you're going to be more comforted and more blessed for it. God's keeping track of your sorrows. And you can say, wow, I'm mourning, but I can have comfort because my sorrow passes and I get comfort from it and God takes care of it and he rewards my sorrows. And blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who mourn. That is not our modern psychology, what they tell us. Blessed are those who mourn, God says, for they shall be comforted. God keeps track of your sorrows and repays you. Next, one day all sorrow is taken away. Revelation 21, way at the end of the Bible. One day all of your sorrow is taken away, and all of everybody's sorrow is taken away. Revelation 21. In verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Now verse 4 of Revelation 21 is a beautiful verse. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's an amazing thing. It doesn't say the tears go away. You know what it says? It said God will walk up and wipe away every tear from the eyes. God does it. And then it says, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Listen, Christian, I don't know how bad your life is. I know our lives in the 21st century are not as bad as historically lives are, have been in the past. We're not dealing with bubonic plague. We have clean water in America. We don't have the infant mortality rate. You know what the infant mortality rate and the mother mortality rate was in the past? Unbelievably high. We have so many things. We have food. Too much food many times. We have a lot of things going for us. Every other building in America besides this one has heat. We have heat. And we have so many things out there where our lives really aren't that bad. We aren't getting, the government's not coming and taking us away and killing us and feeding us to lions and burning us at stake for serving God. There are so many things that aren't bad. But this life has a lot of sorrows anyway. And the truth is, if you don't feel very much pain, whenever you feel pain, it hurts pretty bad. So what might not bother somebody in Haiti might bother you just as much as a devastating thing to somebody in Haiti. If follow the logic there, understand, everybody sorrows about the same amount of pain. You take a kid who grows up in Sudan, he doesn't know anything else, so he just feels a pain like a kid whose Wii breaks down in America. They really do sorrow about as much. The people who've been in great suffering, they're just don't know any different, and they're used to it. And sometimes in suffering, you get pain. So I, as a pastor, I'm not worried about them taking me in the Catholic Church in 1350, going and taking me and burning me at the stake for preaching the Bible. Okay, I'm not worried about that, but I have battles in the ministry. I have to deal with government issues and paperwork, which is just about as bad. And I have people. Listen, Christians used to stick with their church, and Christians used to love God with all their heart. Now you have to deal with petty things. You didn't smile at me. I'm not happy. And so we have to deal with this. And so I'm softer than a pastor 500 years ago, 700 years ago. So I feel pain just like he felt pain. The kids in the third world are just as happy. Sometimes happier, because they don't know the difference. You feel pain, I feel pain, just like people have always felt pain, and they always will feel pain. They'll never eradicate pain and sorrow and heartache. It'll never be eradicated on earth. The good thing is, there comes a point in eternity where all of a sudden God says, okay, time's done. Now, there's no more sorrow. I don't understand how there can be no more sorrow. Kind of a weird thing. It's like, how can I conceive there's no more sorrow? Nothing bad's ever going to happen again. Like Murphy died, and there's no more Murphy's Law, and nobody's ever going to die again, and nothing's ever going to go wrong again, and there's never going to be a bill in the mail again, and there's never going to be a physical pain again, and nobody's going to ever hurt me again, and say anything bad about me, and I'm never going to disappoint God again, and all these things. How is that possible? But he says there's no more sorrow, no tears. Nobody in heaven will ever cry again. Why? Because nothing ever bad happens. The devil's gone. The curse is gone. We're in glorified bodies. All the sorrow is taken away. When that happens and God wipes away all tears, when you realize that your life is so short compared to eternity that's going to be wonderful. I used to think of it this way, is my eternity compared to my life, my 70 years on earth, my eternity is like one, my life is like one blink of my eye in my whole lifetime. Like one blink of my eye in this entire life is what my whole life on earth is compared to eternity. It's just a, and if I sorrow a little bit here, but God rewards it in eternity, and I know in the future, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, 100 years, I don't know when I'm going to face eternity. I don't know when Jesus is coming back or when I'm going to die, when this world's going to go away. I just know at some point there's no more sorrow. Remember I told you, if you get 1 year of sorrow and you're going to have 10 great years, I'll take it. I got one life of sorrow and trillions of years of joy and peace and eternal bliss. Amen. Where there is no sorrow. And you know, you might find out that you might not need the psychiatrist and the Prozac and all that stuff if you would go and realize you got a bright future. That's right. Because pessimism makes you depressed. And most of the time people get depressed because they feel they have no hope. And I can tell you this, if your life doesn't work out and everything does go wrong for the rest of your life, you got eternity. And it's going to be awesome. Better than if you could write up your dream of this life working out and starting your life over again. If you could say, and by the way, if you could go back to about 13, do you think you could do a little better? Do you think you could have an incredible life? You could plan your life again because now you got brains? Remember, you have no brains until you're about 20-something. Yeah, your body breathes and your heart beats and you somehow go through emotions, but you aren't thinking. And then all of a sudden it dawns on you about life, but then you made most of your decisions that are dumb. Okay? Unless you serve God when you're young and you get wisdom and you have some good parents who guide you. Otherwise, you're just dumb. The teenagers aren't in here. I can tell them how dumb they are. We got one in here. How many more? Any more teenagers? Not just one. Yep, you're not a teenager either. But And she's wise. She's here at church and making good choices in her life. But when you go and you realize, no matter how messed up this life is, I've got a great eternity. And if you could go back in life and say, I'm going to relive life and make all these choices, I'm going to have a great life. You can do that right now. It's your life that's going to last for billions of years. If you just took right now and lived for God, you've got a lot to look forward to. Now, honest truth is, serving God in America in the 21st century, you probably will have a pretty good life. It's a pretty good life. You get joy, you get peace, you don't make the stupid mistakes that bring all the sorrow of the world. The Bible says the sorrow of the world will work at death. You don't get all the sorrows because you don't do dumb things. You work hard, you make good decisions, and you're blessed, and you realize you're blessed, and you appreciate what we have. You know what? Be honest with you. My life is not a sorrowful life. I like life. Now, I might the rest of my life have tragedy, and I might not like this life, but then I still got a lot to look forward to if I stay faithful to God. So when sorrow comes, you can say, you know what? I have a bright future. I don't need to be miserable because sorrow's coming, because the world has taught you that if your circumstances are bad, you need to be down. I say, Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. For I've overcome the world. You have an eternity to look forward to, and if you would just give your life to God and serve the Lord, you have a bright life. No matter how much you've messed up to this point, it doesn't matter. You got right now to serve God and look forward to the future, and you got a bright future in eternity, let alone your life here on earth will turn out pretty good if you serve God. In most cases, it'll turn out pretty good, and in our situation, we have that. Our joy is great because our sorrow is going away. Our mourning will be bright. He will turn our mourning, our sorrow, our heartbreak into dancing. So just serve the Lord. And if you have sorrow and you look around and you see things that break your heart and you have some things in your life that are very sad, I understand that. I am not saying don't have sorrow. What I'm saying is temper your sorrow with optimism. The future's bright. And all things work together for good to love and love God, to them are called according to his purpose. You have a bright future because sorrow passes. Sometimes in a problem I've learned, and I think most of you have learned this by now, you understand when it looks like everything's hopeless and terrible and never going to work out, you know the sun usually rises the next day. But it sure doesn't feel like it's going to that day, does it? It looks like the sun's going to set and it's never going to rise again. And it's going to be terrible. But you know what? You find out, you deal with it, and you make it, and you struggle along, and life doesn't turn out too bad, although it looks terrible. Some days it looks like, I mean, I've talked to people, I talked to someone one time a half hour after they destroyed everything. And they called me, they didn't even know me, they literally drove by the church sign and said, I just called to God, I just destroyed everything, and your church sign's the first sign I saw, can I meet with you? I'm in trouble. I met with them. And they said, my life is destroyed. And I talked to them, and I said, you need to serve God. They were an accident Christian away from God. I said, you need to serve God, and gave them some counsel and talked to them. And I said, by the way, don't ever forget how you feel right now, because it'll keep you from doing it again. But you know what? I know you feel like there's no hope. I know there's nothing ever's going to be good again. You just, you know what? If you'll get on the right track, confess it to God, and start going forward, your future's bright. Your future is always bright when you serve God. You can always be optimistic. You can always be optimistic, and you can always say, my future's bright, because even in sorrow, you realize my sorrow's temporary. Let's go back to Psalms 30 and finish up, and we'll be done. And you can go out and have an optimistic week this week. I'm going to just finish a chapter off and start at verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, but his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In my prosperity I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall I declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee, and to not to be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. So this last few days I've had a lot of sorrow, and just boom, boom, boom. And that's not unusual. It's nothing that strange or anything. But you know why I didn't get down in all that? Because I knew the sorrow was going to pass. And I knew, you know what? God has this for a reason. We're going to help some people here. And you know what? God, if we'll all stay faithful, we'll have some blessings. And something's going to happen good, too. And you know what? In eternity, a lot's going to happen good. Be optimistic. Your future is bright. It's time for God's people to realize we need to be optimists, not pessimists. Be optimists. Let's pray. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord. I pray you'd help us to realize that our future is bright. That you, though weeping may endure for the night, joy cometh in the morning. That's just such a beautiful verse. We hardly even got to that verse, Lord. But weeping may endure for the night, all night long weeping, but joy comes in the morning. What a great symbol of serving God in sorrow, knowing the future's bright, knowing that you're going to work things together for good, knowing that we have eternity to look forward to where there's no sorrow. Lord, help us not to fall into the trap of the world's depression, but help us to be have your mindset of optimism. We ask you'd help us in this and to see a bright future. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.